So you're stuck with me this morning. I do have a word. It is for mothers. But men, hang on, because I got something for you too. Just stay with me through the message. So I've been, the last 2 weeks, whenever he's going to be gone, and I know that I'm going to have to preach, the Lord usually drops something to me in the middle of the night. It's in those wee early hours, and it kind of rolls out like a movie in my head while I'm like early, you know, where you're kind of awake, but you're not awake. And this is what came for today. I'm really excited about it because if we grab hold of it, it can be life-changing for you, for your family, for those around you. So we're going to be in a couple places today, because I'm going to give you some contrast. I don't want to take too much time because it's Mother's Day. I want you to have time for your families. But we're going to be first in 2 Samuel chapter 6, okay? And I'm a storyteller, so I'm going to tell you some stories. I love stories. I think that they relate to us, help us relate to what God has for us. Lord, you just be with us. You've been present this morning already, and if you just continue to pour out, open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, help us understand in our own life how to make this applicable. Amen. Amen. So, condensed version of story one. Do we have the PowerPoint? If you bring up that first slide. This is a story of Michal. Now, Michal was David's wife. Okay, she was the daughter of King Saul. King Saul was the first king in Israel. And because he didn't heed God, God anointed David, and David took his place. So just to get the background of the story real quick, which happens, unfolds in chapter 6, you have to understand that And I know probably all of you know this, but in case you don't, I want to make sure you understand what's going on. So in the Old Testament, prior to Christ coming and dying on the cross for our sins, the Spirit of the Lord dwelled within the Ark of the Covenant. And the priests, wherever that Ark of the Covenant was, there were blessings and prosperity. And they had very specific rules about, you know, what to do and how to take care of this Ark of the Covenant. Well, at one point, it got taken in war. It got taken by the Philistines, who were the Israelites' enemies. It ended up back, eventually, in Israel at a guy's place by the name of Abinadab. Abinadab was one of the priests. And it hung out in his house for like 20 years. Long time. Okay? This is before they have a temple, because the temple isn't built until later, okay? So Israel doesn't have a temple. They have Jerusalem set up as the capital of Israel. And so the ark is hanging out with one of the priests in his house. After David takes over as king, he decides that it's time to bring the Ark of the Covenant into Jerusalem. So he goes to get it, and he has men with him. And in the course of trying to carry the ark on these rods, so it's a big old gold box, okay? And it's got these rods, and the men would carry it, you know, on the rods. And in the course of bringing it into Jerusalem, what happens is, I don't know if they stumble or something, but one of the guys, you know how you're carrying and you trip, and maybe you think something's going to fall and you go to reach your hand out. He reaches his hand out. His name is Uzzah. He reaches his hand out. He touches the ark. God kills him instantly. Broke the rule, even though it was unintentional. David gets very upset. Then it says it in there. He gets mad and angry because of God's outburst. In the Hebrew, that's what those words, if you read the Hebrew, it means David got mad at their outburst. So David decides he ain't bringing it back to Jerusalem. He's going to leave it in this other guy's house whose name is Obed-Edom. We'll just call him Obed for short, okay? So it hangs out at Obed's house for 3 months. And during that three-month time, Obed just flourishes. Prosperity flows into his household. I mean, everything good that you can think is going on, because that's what happens where God resides. Good things happen. So David gets wind of this, and he's like, man, I need to get this back to Jerusalem, because we should have some of this. It's been long enough. So he goes and he's bringing the ark into Jerusalem. Now, the day that he brings it in, the people are so excited. Like, this is like major, major event, okay? And the people are out in the streets. And David gets so excited, and I'm sure that you've heard this, but David gets so excited that he starts dancing. And literally dancing with all his might and all his strength. I mean, everything he's got in him, he is pouring it out. And he ain't got much on. Okay. Basically, I mean, he had a little covering, but that was about it. And that would have been considered being naked back then, okay? So he's boogieing down the streets with nothing on, fully celebrating, could care less about anything other than he's celebrating that God is coming, where God resides is coming to Jerusalem. And as he's coming down the streets, the main street in Jerusalem, up in the window, his wife, the queen, Michal, is looking out. Now, remember, she was a king's daughter. She's used to pomp and circumstance. She's used to order. And the Bible says that she looked on him, looked on David with contempt. Contempt. Totally, totally angry, mad. Like, what are you doing? And when David gets back to the house, to the palace, she gets in his face. And she tells him, what in the world do you think you're doing? Who do you think you are? You got all, and maybe she was had some jealousy because she's talking about all the handmaids, all the women are looking at you. She misses the whole part about God bringing his presence into Jerusalem. She misses all the part about how God's blessings follow the Ark of the Covenant. She forgets the part of really understanding her husband because he is a man that has a passion for his God. He's not a perfect man, but man, he's got a passion for God and a heart to serve him. She washes all that out, and all she's going to do is run her mouth with contempt. Not good. Not good. I just want you to hold that because I'm going to give you a contrast story. Okay, so we can go to the next slide. The next story is about Mary. This is Jesus' mother. This is in John chapter 2. Now, I want you to see the difference of what's going on here. In John chapter 2, Jesus, his disciples, Mary, his mother, they get asked to come to a wedding. They get a wedding invite, you know? And they go to the wedding, and while they're in the wedding, the party runs out of wine. Disastrous, okay? It's kind of like for us today if you dropped the cake on the floor. It's like disastrous, okay? Like the wedding is over. We've ruined it. My one day in the world, and it's all messed up. But Mary, she looks at Jesus, and she says to him, hey, you can do something. And Jesus, he uses phraseology with her that would today, like when my husband says woman, I'm like, oh no, you did not just say that to me. You did not woman me. You can go to the closet now because I ain't woman in me. But that's what Jesus does. He literally says, woman, it ain't my time yet. So what are you doing? And Mary, and I love her. Oh my gosh, this is so good. Because what Mary does is she ignores him. She just ignores him. He's over here going, woman. And she's going, I ain't listening to you. And she goes to the servants and she tells the servants, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. She completely doesn't look at the current situation. She looks at what she knows her son is called to do and who he's called to be. She looks at where God is taking him. And she's speaking life into him. Total opposite of what Michael does. Total opposite. Michael is crushing who her man is. Mary is lifting up who her man is. Go to the next slide. We got stuff to do, so I'm going to move this along today. So there's this story, because I want to give you another one. I want to give you another story. There's a lady. Now, like, this is in the 1800s, okay? And she, her name is Nancy. And Nancy has a young son. And he is going to, you know, back then it was a one-room schoolhouse, okay? One day her son comes home with a note. And he hands the note to Nancy, his mom, and he says, my teacher said I was supposed to give this to you, and you're the only one that's supposed to read it. So standing there, Nancy opens up the note. She doesn't read it out loud as it's written. What she says is, oh, closes it up. And then she says to her son, you know what? Your teachers said that you are so smart that they can't teach you anything anymore. And so they want you to stay home with me and have me teach you. You're just too smart. You stay home with me and I'll teach you. Years later, when Nancy died, her son, Thomas Edison, was digging in her closet and he found the original note. And he opens it up and the original note read, your son is an idiot. He can't learn anything. So he is expelled from school. Later on, in one of Thomas Edison's journals, one of his diaries, he writes, by my mother's words, she created the genius of the century. The message, it's simple. It's simple. We have the ability to pour in to the men in our life and either lift them up and help them become and achieve who God's called them to be, or we can crush them. It's that simple. And this was set up from the beginning of time. Look at the Garden of Eden. How did Adam end up taking the apple? What was the woman in his life doing? Feeding him wrong words, for sure. Wrong communication. See, this story has been going on and on and on and on and on and on. And the Bible says that we create, you've heard me say it many times, but I don't believe we take the word literally enough. The Bible says in Isaiah that we create from the fruit of our lips. So what are we creating? What are you creating in the men in your life? And maybe you're not a biological mother, but you are, dadgum, you are probably mentoring or pouring into somebody. What are you telling them? What are you speaking into them? What are you doing to encourage them to step in to who God's called them to be? I tell you this little story about Apostle. I'll tell on myself, okay? Because I'm a high D. No surprise to anybody that knows me, okay? Amen. Thank you very much. Okay. So we would get in the truck and we would be going someplace and we both knew where we were going, but he would take a turn. He would take a turn, take a road, and I would say, what are you doing? Where are we going? Like, this isn't how to get there. I'd just jump right in. Like, not even thinking about him. Just like, this isn't the way to get there. And after doing that for years, he was very patient, okay? But after doing that for years, one day, he turns to me and he says, yeah, woman. I drive around town all day by myself all week long by myself and I get there just fine. Why do you think you have to tell me how to get there? Ouch. And I had to think about it. I mean, I really had to think about it. Because something as simple as driving can cause strife in the men in your life. So I determined I was going to work on it. And it was not easy because I like to talk. I don't talk about anything. Everything, talk nonstop. I even talk in my sleep. I will talk. So this was not an easy thing. But, and it's Mother's Day, so you didn't and Seth didn't amen that, and that's good. So I just worked on keeping my mouth shut. And oh my gosh, it was hard because he'd tell me we're going here and he's driving all this and I'm just anything, keep my mouth shut. One day, we're out driving again. He's not going the right way. I'm not saying anything at this point because this is a habit and you have to break habits and your speech is a bad habit and you have to correct it. You have to be conscious about it and you have to think about what you're saying and when you're saying it and how you're saying it. And because it says that in Proverbs, it says that kind words are like honey and it's health. You want your man healthy? Start pouring some kind words into him. That's what the Bible says. But we're driving around. We get clear over on the other side of town. And he stops the vehicle and he looks at me and he said, what are we doing over here? And I said, well, I don't know. I figured you had a place to go. Well, why didn't you stop me? I was just distracted. Why didn't you stop me and tell me to go the other way? And I said, because I trust you. Do you know what he did? He didn't say a word. He got this big fat grin on his face. He scooched up in his truck seat a little bit higher. And it was just like, oh, how awesome is that? I could see the change just wash over him just from something as simple as keeping my mouth shut. And when he did ask me, just to be able to tell him I trusted him. That's what power you hold with the people in your life. Whether it's the men, whether it's your children, like with Nancy. These are things that are so important. They're so important. And we don't think about it. We give sharp responses. We always got to tell them what to do. Don't trust their guidance. You know, they're the men of the house. There's a reason why. I mean, that's what that fall did. God set Eve under Adam. We don't encourage them. We bark orders. Or maybe we just don't do anything encouraging at all. Maybe we don't say anything negative, but we don't say anything good. That's just as bad. It's just as bad. If we create from the fruit of the lips, what kind of man, what kind of sons, what kind of children do you want? And it doesn't mean that you can't ever say something challenging. You can, but it's how you say it. Matthew tells us that we have to give an account for our words. I can just see Nancy. Her last name was, her maiden name was Elliot. So Nancy Elliot. I don't know if she's in heaven or not. It's not my call. But if she is, I am sure that when the Lord looked at her and she's giving an account, because we have to, of the words that she said, I'm sure that that day when she's telling the Lord, oh, yeah, and when the note came home from school, this is what I said. I'm sure that the Lord said, well done. Well done. Because instead of crushing the spirit of your son and possibly crushing the plans that I had for him, you spoke life. Do you know that when Jesus got done doing the wine, it says later on in that chapter that the disciples believed on him? This was his first miracle. Because Mary is speaking words of life and encouragement and potential of who God's called him to be, we have the disciples seeing it unfold and them saying, we believe. We believe in him. What happens if Mary didn't do that? I'm sure God would have gotten it done somehow. He always does. But he only had 3 years. And because of a woman speaking into her son with the right verbiage at the right time, changed the course of those disciples who were going to become his close inner circle. It says that at the end of the chapter. Ephesians, I'm just going to give you another verse. Ephesians, and I'm going to read this one. If I can get there, just give me a minute. It's Ephesians 4. And it's verse 29. Let no corrupt communication. Now, in the King James, the Hebrew, the word corrupt means bad, worthless, rotten, unfit. Don't let any of that kind of communication proceed out of your mouth. But that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. That word grace means favor and loving kindness. I don't know about you, but it feels really good when somebody speaks favor over me. Why would we not want that for our husbands and the men in our life and our sons and our grandsons and our neighbors and our coworkers in our workplace? Why would we not want that? I just challenge you as we go forward that you guard your speech. You're not snippy. You're not short-tempered. You don't call names. It's a good one with women. Women are really quick. Women fight ugly. I didn't even get an amen. That's right. I was good, man. I was really good. Here's your encouragement. Yeah, women fight ugly. I know. Just stop it all. Edify. Pour in life. You don't know all that God has planned for the men in your life? And do you want to be the one accountable for them not getting there? Just because you ran your mouth instead of encouragement and edify and lifting up and speaking about their potential? It's life changing. We're going to do something this morning in closing. I told you I wasn't going to be long today. Trying to take after my son, because Joel can say in 20 minutes what it takes Apostle and me to say in 50. It's the truth. So we're going to do something today. And this is not Mother's, this is not at all like Mother's Day, because each, and I do have words, a card, didn't want to do flowers. Flowers wither and die. You have a card. I wrote cards up for our ladies, and you'll be getting those. I want to do something for our men, and I want our women to do it, okay? So what I would like is, and if you're not comfortable with this, you don't have to do it. I don't want to put you on the spot. I'm just saying this is an opportunity, okay? What I'd like is I would like men, I'd like you to line up both aisles. And I want our women just to speak a word of encouragement over you. Women, you're going to have to listen to your God voice. It can be one word. Hi, big boy. No. It can be one word. It can be a verse. It can be just an encouraging, some type of encouragement. And I want you to speak life into them. That's it. I'm going to have Pastor Tracy, if you'd put a song. If you'd put a song on. And when we're done, we'll have a benediction. I want you to go and enjoy your family. Have a beautiful day in the Lord. Watch your speech as you go. See the change. Maybe you're going to have one of those moments in the truck where, man, those men in your life, they just get this big grin on their face and they scooch up a little higher. That's your sign. That's your sign. You're doing it right. And it's a day-to-day grind, let me tell you, because it's habits are hard to break. And if you screw up one day, you just pick yourself up like David and you go at it again. Because the Lord is after people who, when we mess up, we ask him to forgive us and we start again. That's that renew a right spirit within me. So as the song plays, I'm just going to ask you now, ladies, don't be bashful, okay? You can get in groups. Just make sure that none of the men that are standing get left out, okay? Don't be bashful. Everybody can give. Paul says, I want everybody to prophesy, which is edification, encouragement, and comfort. We should all be able to do this. And we practice in the house so that you can do this with your coworker. You can do that, give an encouraging word to somebody you meet out on the street. So guys, if you would help me, help the women, and just kind of, some of you that are brave, okay? We play a song, Trace. Thank you. Kind of, yeah, just in the middle aisle. Just straight, make a line. And in this aisle, Ladies, you got men. Just speak a word over them. I told my husband we were doing this, and he says, you're praying over men on Mother's Day? And I said, we sure are. We sure are. Just get in a straight line. Come on. Ladies, come on.